Stars twinkle in the night sky above a blanket of white clouds. Lying far below our hillside towns and villages, their lights scattered beside a glimmering river winding down from the distant horizon. At the boundary wall of this magical kingdom stands a magnificent fairy tale castle with the river flowing through it. A flag flutters atop its tallest spire as fireworks explode in the cloud-streaked sky. Glittering lights arc over the castle turrets. Disney. Clouds hang over empty bleachers with red letters on a press box spelling Mica. A scoreboard proclaims, "Home of the Mud Frogs." A cutout on the side of a building shows a frog mascot holding French fries. More lettering on an equipment shed reads, "Frog Pride." A title appears, "Stargirl." A bandleader raises her baton. She conducts, establishing a tempo. Dressed in plain clothes, the marching band practices a routine. They march in sloppy formation, all taking a sudden left turn, though a saxophonist falls out of step. A trumpet player with a thick mop of hair stops and squints at a girl in a rainbow-striped shirt and suspender pants, watching them from across the street. The bass drummer runs into him.
Everyone okay? All right, let's go from where we left off.
That morning was the first time I ever saw her. But before we talk about her, I have to tell you something about me. And I'm sorry I have to tell you, but I do. When I was a kid, my dad died.
He finds the girl gone.
I know it's sad, but it's true. And it happened. And it's something you need to know about me. But here's the good news. When he was alive, he was the best. He was funny and silly, and he had this amazing porcupine tie he used to wear all the time. And when he died, my mom let me wear it to his funeral. And after that, I wore it pretty much every day. Fighting dinosaurs? Tie. Eating sugar pops? Tie. Oh man, those were so good. Here I am playing the trumpet, wearing the tie. And on moving day, you guessed it, tie.
As a young boy, he takes down a T-Rex poster.
We were moving to Mica, Arizona. My mom said she got a good job there, and that it was quiet and far away. She said we could start fresh. Just the two of us.
They drive off in a hatchback filled with their belongings. His red-haired mom looks at him in the back seat, wearing his dad's oversized porcupine necktie and holding toy dinosaurs in his lap. They share a smile. Their blue hatchback continues down the highway through an open desert to a sleepy town.
But guess what? Mica was quieter than I ever could have imagined. Nothing ever happened here. Like, zero things. It was a town that felt like something was missing. And they wanted to win, they just couldn't. There were no trophies, no celebrations, no stories. Because it had been that way for so long, it just felt normal. And as the new kid, that meant I became the center of attention real fast.
At elementary school, bullies cut off his necktie, then run off, leaving him flat on his back with the bottom half of the tie lying beside him.
And not in a good way.
A little later in the restroom, he wipes his chin and looks at his reflection.
And right then I knew. If I wanted to survive, it was better to lay low.
He removes the half tie from around his neck.
I was gonna have to be just like everybody else.
He shoves it in his pocket. Returning home, he runs straight to his room.
Leo?
Kneeling on a rug, he staples the two halves of the tie back together.
No one would see me.
He hangs it in his closet.
No one would hear me.
He hides it behind a rack of shirts.
I was gonna disappear.
He then turns off the light.
And then on my 9th birthday.
Young Leo opens his front door in his dinosaur pajamas. He sees no one there, but discovers a long, thin, polka-dotted box on the doormat and picks it up. Opening it on the kitchen table, he finds a necktie embroidered with porcupines playing tennis.
And every birthday after that. Boom! Another tie. And another. And another. Look at these boxes, they're amazing. Hey, it's a trumpet! I had no idea who they were from. But whoever it was, they made sure that for one moment every year, I couldn't forget who I was.
As a teenager, Leo opens a starry sky gift box to discover a lavender necktie of two porcupines kissing. His mom comes to the door and dangles a set of keys.
Happy birthday, kid.
Thank you.
Be safe.
He smiles as she heads outside to a newer car parked beside the old hatchback.
And that brings us back to where we started.
Leo drives the hatchback to Micah High School.
Back to my 16th birthday. Back to the first time I saw her. Back to when there were more questions than answers. And I didn't know what I didn't know.
Leo, did you see her? Maybe?
Trust me, you'd know.
Oh, happy birthday.
Thanks. Wait, were you at band practice this morning?
Yes, Leo, you finally found me out. I watch you practice band. What are you talking about?
What are you talking about?
Did you guys see her yet?
Happy birthday.
Are you guys messing with me?
What are you talking about?
See you later.
Okay, I think I've told you enough about me and Micah and my secret porcupine ties. So now we can get back to her. And back to when something was finally about to happen.
Sitting in a classroom, he sees the girl from before standing in the doorway in her unique outfit, a daisy embroidered on the front of her rainbow-striped sweater. She comes in looking for an empty seat. Leo clenches his jaw as she goes to the one directly in front of him. The top of a ukulele sticks out from the top of her backpack. Leo looks around the room, then suddenly makes eye contact with her. She smiles. Leo awkwardly averts his gaze. The girl turns away, facing the front of the classroom. Now in the cafeteria, one of Leo's buddies hungrily bites into a large burrito. His other male friend stares at an attractive couple as they head to a nearby table.
Kevin. Come on.
It's fascinating. Don't you think it's fascinating?
No.
Imagine being popular for doing absolutely nothing.
They're popular because they're beautiful.
Yeah, Tess, that's not something you do.
The burrito's different. Something tastes different.
Maybe she'll do hot seat and you can interview her about nothing.
Yes.
When are you guys gonna let me be on the show?
When someone cares about literally anything you do. Or even better idea, let's put the new girl on hot seat.
Why?
She'd be the perfect guest.
What's her name anyway?
Stargirl.
Leo finds her standing right behind him.
My name is Stargirl.
The four friends all stare at her as she begins to strum her ukulele.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Leo. Happy birthday to you.
She turns away and joins two friends at another table.
Great job, that's amazing.
How'd she know your name?
How'd she know it's her birthday?
Leo stares after her quizzically. Later, he speaks into a mic plugged into a recording device.
This is Hot Seat, where even if you can't pay the bills, the heat is always on. Wow, that is terrible. Also, you should say the name of the show at the end. So like, something, 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 something better than your dumb thing. And this is Hot Seat.
Do we need new sound effects?
Yes. New season, new material, new guests. Ooh, Stargirl?
How about something like this? Mm-hmm. If somebody doesn't answer a question, you are burned.
Oh, that's good. Yeah, let's keep that one. You should ask her. She likes you.
She doesn't.
She sang a song to you in the cafeteria in front of everyone. Oh, I got one. Give me. Okay, ready?
Leo presses a button to start the recording.
How about you ask Stargirl to do hot seat?
Hey, guys.
Hey, Mr. Robineau.
Junior year. It'll be great. How was your summers?
I actually took a speech and debate class. Hate to jinx it, but I'm going to win regionals this year.
Third time's a charm. What about you, Leo?
I worked at Archie's Dinotastic Summer Camp. Again.
Oh, well, that sounds dinotastic.
Mr. Robineau picks up a box of supplies.
Hey, so Leo's new girlfriend is gonna be on the show.
She's not my girlfriend.
Yet. She's not his girlfriend yet.
Now in the school parking lot.
Got the Geo Metro. Nice kid.
As Leo sets down his trumpet case beside his car, he sees Stargirl walking off by herself.
Just promise me you won't be one of those guys who stops hanging out with his friends once he has a girlfriend.
Kevin.
Promise?
She doesn't like me.
But she does.
Dude, it was just my birthday.
He watches Kevin leave, then opens his driver's side door. Pausing, he leans on the doorframe and stares after Stargirl as she makes her way along a ridge at the edge of the school property, her ukulele poking out of the top of her backpack. That night, he returns home to his dark house and turns on a lamp. He stares inside for a moment before shutting the door. On the table sits a cupcake next to a long butane lighter and a note. Don't forget I'm working late. I'm sorry. Love you, Leo boy, XX mom. Now a flame sparks from the lighter and lights a candle on the cupcake. Sitting alone at the table, Leo blows it out. On a school day.
C, and then down, and then F.
Uh-huh. And then, like, I don't know, I just like music.
Stargirl hands her ukulele to her friend. Passing by, Leo pauses to watch from afar. Inside.
So, Alan Furco, you play bass drum in marching band.
Yes.
On a talk show set bearing the logo Hot Seat, Alan sits in a chair with flames glued all over it. Leo's hungry friend eats a bag of chips in the sparse audience. Alan sips some water.
You are burned!
Kevin shoots a dry look toward Leo in the control booth.
Okay, comments and questions time, where we take comments and questions from
camera
our
one, good audience.
Their friend raises his hand.
Anyone else? Anyone else? Literally anyone else. Okay, go ahead, Benny.
So as a member of the marching band, do you get, like, free concessions? Like, from the concession stand?
Well, not free, no. But we do get a discount.
How much discount?
You don't have 20%. To answer that question.
But the rule on Hot Seat is you have to answer every question.
Yes, Benny. As I know you know, that is literally the point of Hot Seat. And he answered the question.
But I didn't hear him.
20%. Okay? It's a 20% discount.
So, could you get me that discount? I mean, I go to every football game, and you see me there because you like a family and friends deal?
Actually, yeah, I can. So, you know, you can just go to the concession stand anytime, or...
Out on the football field, Stargirl walks backwards in front of the empty bleachers. Leo watches her as the rest of the band packs up their instruments. Cheerleaders take to the field. In the center of town, Stargirl walks merrily down a street, feeding a coin into every parking meter she passes. Following her from a short distance behind, Leo halts in his tracks. He sees the furry face of a rat emerge from a pocket in her backpack and stare in his direction. Leo looks about but sees no one else around. The rat scampers up to Stargirl's shoulder while she continues her rounds with the meters. Later, she comes out of a thrift store with a young child's bike. She sits on it and starts to push herself along with her feet on the sidewalk. At dusk, she wheels the bike toward the outskirts of town. With two different colored flowers in her hair and the rat still on her shoulder, she glances back halfway and knowingly smiles to herself. Toting his trumpet case in his hand, Leo continues to follow her up the street of sparse homes. He watches her head out toward a scenic sunset over the open desert, two giant plastic flowers protruding from her backpack. She props her bike against a low property wall and walks onward without it. Leo pulls out his phone and sees the time, 6:34, along with a text from his mom, "Are you on your way?" He looks back up at Stargirl hiking into the desert toward the brilliant orange and pink hued sunset. Back at home, his mom watches him erase something as he does his homework at the dinner table.
You've been working on that same problem for 20 minutes.
It's hard.
Are you sure there isn't, something you want to talk about?
I'm fine.
Sure, yeah, well, you know, if there is anything you want to talk about, I'll just be sitting here across from you.
Okay.
Enjoying my dinner.
All right.
She sips her drink, smiling at Leo as he goes back to his work, now at a school assembly.
And so, as a result of this unfortunate situation, we'll no longer be offering Sloppy Joes in the cafeteria on Wednesdays. And lastly, I would like to remind you all that this Friday is the first football game of the season. Maybe this year we'll win one. Okay, that is everything. Thank you, everyone.
Principal Sutter, I think
you're... students, one last thing. You can now sign up for this year's speech competition. The winner, assuming anyone can beat Mr. Singh's streak, will go to Tucson to compete in the regional competition. So, if you're interested, please see Mr. Robineau for more information.
At the football game. Kevin and Tess watch from the stands with Benny, whose mouth is stuffed with food. Leo sits in the band section. A mud frog running back gets nailed by a linebacker. Benny takes another bite of his hot dog.
And that's halftime. The mud frogs trailing 17-0. Mud frog fans, don't forget to visit the concession stand. And remember, tonight is 2-for-1 mud dog.
The band marches on the field. Alan drops his drum mallet and stops to pick it up. A cheerleader yawns. Mr. Robineau and the principal listlessly watch the performance. The band stops in formation, Leo playing his trumpet. The cheerleaders shake their pom-poms. The band heads for the sidelines, revealing Stargirl standing in the middle of the field, dressed in a mustard-colored jumpsuit and holding her ukulele. Her female friend smiles in the stands.
When some loud bragger tries to put me down and say a school is great, I tell him right away, now what's the matter, buddy? Ain't you heard of my school? It's number one in the state. So be true to your school now, just like you would to your girl or guy. Be true to your school now and let your colors fly. Be true to your school. I got a letterman sweater with the letter in front I got for football and track. I'm proud to wear it now and I cruise around the other parts of the town. I got my decal in back.
She spins around, revealing a sparkly letter M on her back.
Just like you would to your girl or guy. Be true to your school now. Let your colors fly. Be true to your
school. She runs down the line of football players, giving one a high five.
On Friday we'll be jacked up on the football game and I'll be ready to fight. We're gonna smash him round. My girl will be working on her pom-poms now and she'll be yelling tonight. So be true to your school.
As she passes the band, Leo like grins after her admiringly.
Be true to your school now. Let your colors fly. Be true to your school.
Up, the team takes to the field again.
Let's go, Mud Frogs! Let's go, Mud Frogs!
Stargirl jogs over toward Leo on the sidelines.
That was...
Thanks, Leo.
The opposing team kicks off. Leo keeps his eyes on Stargirl as the Mud Frog running back catches the ball by the end zone and starts to weave downfield. Mr. Robineau yells excitedly. Leo peels his eyes away from his crush in time to see the running back dodge one last tackle.
And that's a touchdown! Touchdown, Mud Frogs! What a return to start the second half! And the Mud Frogs are on the board!
Turning back, he finds Stargirl gone. Behind him, golden burgundy pom-poms shake in the air, and Alan jumps on him in a celebratory hug. Beaming, Leo takes another look around for Stargirl. On a new day, he drives his car through the desert to an isolated ranch house. Moments later, he strolls around back, following a mural that points the way to Archie's dinosaur camp.
So, Archie, I wanted to ask you something.
I wondered why you were here on a Saturday.
So, there's this... there's this new girl at school.
Oh, so you've met her.
You know her?
Come on.
She's been homeschooled by her mom until now.
How do you know?
She came here to camp for a few years.
How come I never met her?
Different hours because of the homeschool thing?
Well, why'd she stop?
New interests? I never met someone more invested in learning everything about everything. She still comes by to visit every once in a while.
You said her mom. What about her dad?
She's being raised by a solo superhero, much like your mom. Anna. She does costumes for the theater. Ah, very good. Travel a lot.
He searches a drawer. Turning around, he sees Leo holding out a small brush. Archie smiles, taking it from him, then sits down at a workstation, swaps out his glasses for a thicker pair, and positions a magnifying glass over a find. He stops and looks up.
You like Stargirl?
I don't really know her.
But you're thinking maybe if you did, you might.
She's just so different.
Talk to her.
At school, Stargirl makes her way down the hall past some football players.
There she is. You're officially our good luck charm.
We're gonna win the next one. I can feel it.
Leo observes from his locker.
Hey, Stargirl, I wanna ask you something.
Three cheerleaders chat with her and her friends. Kevin comes up behind Leo as he watches them.
Did you ask her?
What?
About Hot Seat.
Oh,
no. Well, you better ask her before she gets too popular for you.
Leo shoots him a glance. Now, a view from far away shows Stargirl approaching a house on the outskirts of town. She heads up the driveway past an old green 4x4 parked out front. Leo's long shadow precedes him in the late afternoon sunlight as he makes his way to the pink, three-gabled home with his trumpet case in hand. Colored pebbles lie mixed in with a rock garden. Leo picks one up and eyes a girl's face painted on one side. Turning it over in his hand, he finds a daisy painted on the other side. A smile lights up his face. Leo ducks behind the 4x4, the rock still in his hand. Lying face down on the dirt driveway, he sees Stargirl's feet approaching in her teal bobby socks and matching Mary Jane shoes. They stop on the other side of the vehicle.
When you started to follow me into the desert that day after school, why did you turn around and go back?
I don't remember.
Stargirl lies down in the dirt on her side, resting her cheek on her arm. She fixes her twinkling eyes on Leo.
Were you afraid?
No.
Did you want to ask me something?
Yes. My friend Kevin and I have the show. I'm Hot Seat. And we were wondering if you might want to be a guest on the show. On Hot Seat.
She lowers her gaze.
I don't think so. But thank you for the invitation.
Leo lifts his head as he sees her rat scurrying under the car in his direction. He jumps up to his feet. The rat climbs atop his shoe and sniffs around at his shoelaces.
Are you getting acquainted with my friend Cinnamon?
Sort of.
Cinnamon scurries up his leg.
Are you afraid of rats?
Sort of.
The rat keeps climbing until it perches on his shoulder.
Do you hear that, Cinnamon? He's a little bit afraid of you.
Tickle Cinnamon behind the ears. Go ahead, don't be shy.
Leo moves his hand up and scratches Cinnamon behind the ear.
That's pretty soft.
She glances toward the house.
Well, Leo, I have to go in for dinner. Say goodnight, Cinnamon.
Goodnight, Cinnamon.
I was talking to Cinnamon.
The rat makes its way back down his body. Stargirl crouches down on her side of the 4x4 and comes back up with Cinnamon cupped in her hands. She lets him crawl up on her shoulder.
See you tomorrow, Leo.
Okay. Night. Night, Cinnamon.
Stargirl heads inside.
Later.
Leo heads down the driveway, bending to collect his trumpet case. He eyes the rock still in his hand, then glances back at the house. At night, he returns home.
Hey, where were you?
Sorry, I lost track of time.
Dinner's on the stove. You can heat it up, or I can.
Thanks, Mom. I'm not hungry.
He kisses the top of her head and goes to his room. She pauses, doing paperwork, and flashes a knowing smile. In his room, Leo places the rock on his nightstand, face side up. He plops down on his bed and grins from ear to ear. At another football game, Alan bangs his drum with a mallet and backs away to reveal the cheerleaders lifting Stargirl from their formation. Wearing her own modified uniform, she strums her ukulele.
See the people walking down the street, while the lights watching on the feet. They don't know where they want to go, but they're walking in time, cause they got the beat.
Stargirl dances the cheerleader routine while she performs. Lines up with the others as they clap their pom-poms.
We got the beat, jumping, good time.
We got the beat,
round and round and round. We got the beat,
we got the beat.
We got the beat, we got the beat.
We got the beat,
yeah, we got it.
We got the beat.
We got the beat,
we got the beat.
We got the beat.
Two of the cheerleaders get hoisted up by their squad mates.
We got the beat.
They all freeze in one last pose, but it takes Alan a moment before he notices. Stargirl grins at him. Alan hustles off the field after the others.
So with 5 seconds left on the clock and trailing by four, the Mud Frogs have the ball on their own 35 with time for one last play. Let's hear it for the Mud Frogs, fans!
The quarterback gets the snap. He takes off running, escaping tackles left and right. Stargirl and the cheerleaders go wild. The band gets to its feet as the quarterback dives into the end zone.
And that's a Mud Frog touchdown! The Mud Frogs win! The Mud Frogs win! Zach James with a 65-yard run for the score! Can you believe it? The Mud Frogs win!
Leo's friends run out from the stands. Shaking a pair of burgundy and gold pom-poms, Stargirl looks around giddily as everyone rushes the field. Leo charges into the center of the celebration.
Until that night, I had always thought Mud Frogs were an odd choice for a mascot. You see, Mud Frogs spend most of their time sleeping. They sleep at the bottom of dry ponds in the desert, buried in mud, for months. They do this when there's no food or water. And then, one day, the rain comes. And just like that, they're awake.
Sitting on the shoulders of his teammates, Zach, the quarterback, points to Leo, who points back victoriously. On a school day,
we were the Mud Frogs. And we always had been. We were just waiting for it to rain.
Two girls put up a banner for a winter ball in the cafeteria. Zach now sits at Stargirl's table. She waves to Leo as he sits down with his friends.
Did you ask her?
About Hotsy.
Yeah, no, I asked her last week. She said she doesn't want to do it.
You asked her last week and you never told me?
There's a lot going on.
Did you, like, really ask her? Like, when she said no, what'd you say? Did you tell her how important it is? Did you tell her about the Throne of Flames?
Do you guys want to sit with us?
Do you think we can all fit? Binny has, like, 9 trays of food.
Actually, it's funny you came over here. We were just talking about you.
No, we weren't.
Yes, we were.
Yeah, they were.
You were?
No. You know Kevin. It's just always joking.
I am?
Okay. I'm really excited for the speech competition. I signed up too.
I'm aware.
Yeah, I'm sure of it. These burritos are super different.
Benny continues eating from his 3 trays of lunch. Now outdoors, Stargirl puts a new pedal on the bike she bought. Leo walks up.
I don't know how to make plans with you. You don't have a phone.
You want to make plans with me?
Yeah, I do.
They go for a walk.
I work at Archie's in the summer. He's kind of like my uncle. I went there as a kid, too.
I know you did.
Did he tell you?
I saw your picture on the wall.
Oh, right. He said it was just you and your mom?
Yeah.
I think he told me because it's just me and my mom, too.
Stargirl looks at him and displays a gentle smile.
It's a big part of why I wanted to go to school. It's just been the two of us for so long, and she can be so...
Yeah. It can be like that with my mom, too.
We travel a lot. She does costumes for plays, and she's always talking about how she wants to sell the house and live on the road, but I told her I wanted to go to a real school. Am I talking too much?
No.
Sometimes I talk too much.
No.
And
no, sometimes I'm quiet, but I'm just thinking.
What are you thinking?
That I like talking to you.
I like talking to you too.
I'm not usually good with this.
He gestures self-consciously as they walk through the dry landscape.
It's green, Leo.
Why would I do that?
Why wouldn't you?
Because I'm not crazy.
Don't you want the universe to hear you?
I don't have anything to say.
Stargirl stares at him, then turns away to face the open desert. Leo watches, slack-jawed.
I don't think I have that in me.
Stargirl smiles at him, then pivots on her heel and leads him onward.
You know, in Iceland, they have officially designated enchanted places. Like, wouldn't that just be great if you were walking along and suddenly there's a sign declaring enchanted site, U.S. Department of the Interior.
They should put one at your house.
She gives him a look as they step out onto a flat boulder. They gaze out into a scenic canyon.
Take off your shoes.
What?
We're here.
They take a look at the sunset. Dusk finds them both sitting together on the same boulder.
Close your eyes.
He looks at her, then faces out toward the dwindling daylight on the cloudy horizon, both of them holding their eyes closed.
Have you ever done nothing, Leo?
Well, my mom thinks I do it all the time.
No, like really nothing.
Is there a trick to doing nothing?
There's no trick. You'll find your own way.
What's your way?
Sometimes I imagine a giant pink eraser. I start at my toes till everything from my neck down is gone. And then comes the hard part, my senses. My nose, my ears, my eyes, my mouth.
Leo listens placidly.
If I've done a good job at the end, there's just nothing.
Stargirl wears a serene expression.
And then I see. And I hear, but not with my eyes and ears, because they're gone, obviously. Now that I'm nothing, there's no difference between me and everything else. I'm a stone. I'm a paper cup. I'm rain.
Leo opens his eyes to find droplets trickling down around them. It intensifies to a full-on rainstorm. He looks at Stargirl.
Did you?
I don't know, I'm nothing.
In her pastel sweater, she spreads her arms wide, grinning, and lets the rain shower down on her face. She then holds her hands up toward the sky. Leo copies her as they both get soaking wet. They share a giddy look. At the school speech competition.
Who you are on social media is an extension of who you are in real life. Space and privacy are just as important on there as they are out here. So, in conclusion, and remember, I speak from experience, do not let your mom follow you, because after all, it's not social you-dia or social us-dia, it's social me-dia. Thank you.
He takes a bow, then returns to his seat beside the other participants.
Thank you, Kevin. And next up we have Stargirl Caroline.
She gets up and straightens her Argyle dress.
Thank you so much. Did you know that rats actually like to hang out with other rats?
Afterwards, the judges confer. Stargirl nudges her friend seated beside her in the competitors' chairs. Mr. Robineau walks up to the microphone.
And the winner of this year's Micah High speech competition, who will go to Tucson to compete in regionals, is Stargirl Caraway.
She hugs her friend, then accepts a certificate as she moves to the mic.
Thank you.
Leo glances at his friend's disappointed faces.
And thank all of you for attending. Wish us luck in Tucson. Go Mud Frogs!
Kevin gets up and mopes off. Now, Archie uses a glove like a potholder to pick up a coffee pot from a campfire.
She keeps winning, and she's not even trying. She beat Kevin in speech, and he's won 2 years in a row. Somehow, she's better.
Okay.
We've won 4 football games this year, and before this, we'd never even won one. And I think... Oh, no, I know it's her.
What do you mean?
Is she... No, it's stupid. Is she magic?
Depends on how you define magic.
She started doing stuff and we started winning.
Doing stuff?
She made it rain the other night.
Excuse me?
It's stupid.
No, you're just not making sense.
Leo turns to face him, both of them holding their hot beverages in tin cups.
Since she got here, things have been different. Good different.
Some people are just like that.
So is she, or isn't she?
You're gonna have to figure that out for yourself.
The boy takes a sip.
Is that coffee? I don't drink coffee.
Later at Stargirl's house, Leo waits outside the front door. Now, Stargirl pushes along her bike as they take a walk together.
So, what's your deal with that bike?
The kid it belongs to got it for his birthday, but then got into an accident. He's been in the hospital for a few weeks, but he's better now and coming home.
Wait, are you talking about Hillary Kimball's brother?
She nods.
Is he a friend of yours?
No.
How do you know that's his bike?
I have my ways.
So why was it at the thrift store?
She shrugs.
I don't know. His family was probably so busy with everything going on they didn't even think about it. But this way, when he's ready to get back on, it'll be waiting.
She moves up a driveway.
Does she know you're coming?
No.
So you're just gonna leave it there?
What else would I do?
I don't know. Knock? Leave a note?
She props the bike on its kickstand.
It's not why I did it.
Leo grins at her shrewdly.
At first I thought it was my mom, you know. But I know it was you.
And the ties. It was you. Ties I get every year for my birthday. I never knew who it was from, but now
I have no idea what you're talking about, Leo Borlaug.
She ambles back the way they came. Leo takes one last look at the bike, which has been decked out with colorful streamers from its handlebars. Then he hurries to catch up with Stargirl. Later, they enter an open garage filled with racks of costumes, where a woman sits working on a garment.
Hi, Mom. I have a friend with me.
Oh, that's so...
She bumps her sewing table as she stands.
Exciting.
Never brought anyone to the house before.
I'm Anna. What's your name?
Leo.
Leo.
Okay, we're gonna go hang out now.
Well, I'll be here. Oh, if you need anything, anything at all, just ask and I'll get it right away.
Sure, Mom. Thanks.
Nice to meet you.
Anna beams as she watches them go inside. Bringing Leo to her bedroom, Stargirl takes off her mustard yellow cardigan and drapes it over the back of a chair, then kneels to Cinnamon's cage and lets him out. Leo eyeballs the room's sparse, run-of-the-mill decor as she picks the pet rat up in her hands.
Where's all your...
glitter and ribbons and magic tricks?
Yeah.
In my office.
You have an office? Where?
It's a secret.
They share a smile. Stargirl sits down on her bed with Cinnamon. Leo finds a seat nearby and starts flipping through a box of records by older artists. He pulls out the self-titled debut by The Cars.
Oh, man. This was my dad's favorite. He'd drive me to school on the way to work, and we'd sing Just What I Needed at the top of our lungs.
You sing?
I used to. It's kind of funny that it was our song, because, I mean, it's clearly not about a dad and his kid. But it's cool that a song can be about whoever you want it to be about. It doesn't matter what the words say.
Eyes shifting thoughtfully, Stargirl sets Cinnamon down on the bed, then moves closer to Leo. Crouching on the other side of the box, she flips through a few more records until she finds a particular one. She slides it out to display its black cover featuring a neon star with the word big in the middle.
What's this?
Big Star.
Ha.
No, really, that's the name of the band.
She hands it to Leo.
I don't have a record player.
He pulls his phone out of his pocket.
Right, yeah. Track number four?
What?
Track number four, it's a song about who the words say it's about.
Later that afternoon, Leo exits her house and walks down the gravel front path, pulling out his earbuds from a pocket of his jean jacket. Behind him, the door opens again, and Stargirl comes out. As Leo stops walking to plug his earbuds into his phone, she comes running up to him. She puts her hand on his shoulder, turning him to face her, then reaches up, cradles his neck in her hands, and kisses him. He holds her gently by the waist while savoring the moment. She flashes him a smile, then runs back up the path and heads inside. Leo just stands there, staring after her. A huge grin lighting up his face, he presses play on his cell phone. He walks off toward the sunset.
Won't you let me walk you home from school?
Looking over his shoulder toward Stargirl's house, he turns and walks backwards a few paces. Behind the football field, they toy around with each other's instruments.
Maybe Friday I can get tickets for the dance.
Stargirl blows into his trumpet, then laughs.
Now take you.
Leo gazes at her adoringly as he strums her ukulele.
Won't you tell your dad, get off my back?
In the desert, they play a complicated version of Patty Cake.
Tell him what we said about painted black.
They chase each other around.
Rock and roll is here to stay. Come inside when it's okay.
They slow down and walk hand in hand.
Now shake you. Ooh.
At a taping of Hot Seat, Kevin interviews the head cheerleader. Looking past the packed studio audience, he sees Leo and Stargirl engrossed in conversation up in the control booth. On Halloween, the lovebirds go trick-or-treating in costume. Out in the desert, Stargirl practices her speech with a stack of note cards. Finishing, she gives a little curtsy to Leo and Archie sitting nearby in lawn chairs. They applaud her. Now the mud frogs celebrate another win.
Won't you tell me what you're thinking?
enough.
Amid everyone rushing the field, Stargirl and Leo find each other.
Would you be an outlaw for my love?
They kiss.
If it's so, well, let me know. If it's no, well, I can go.
Back after their first kiss.
I won't make you.
With his earbuds still in and a blissful smile on his face, Leo reaches his car, gets behind the wheel, and closes the door. He slowly pulls out each earbud and melts back into his seat. At another football game, the Mud Frogs take to the field.
Welcome, fans, to Leonard Jones Community Field for tonight's championship game between the defending champs, the Rio Canyon Jaguars, and their All-American quarterback, Ron Kovac. And appearing in the championship game for the first time in school history, the Micah Mud Frogs, led by their upstart quarterback, Zach James. Tonight's conditions are partly cloudy skies.
So, Mr. Abanow told me that I get to take a guest to Tucson.
Leo and Stargirl stand by the fence.
Do you want to come with me?
What about your mom?
I'd rather go with you, Leo.
She smiles at him, her face freckled with glitter.
It's going to be awesome seeing you do your speech in front of all those people. I mean, it's amazing to me that you can even do that.
You get up in front of all these people and play the trumpet.
That's different. I mean, that's all of us. No one's looking at me. Besides, being with you is...
What?
Being with you is like the most anyone has ever looked at me in my entire life.
Leo looks out at the football team warming up in the twilight. Now, Stargirl stands at the center of the field, wearing a band uniform jacket over a cheerleader skirt.
When some loud bragger tries to put me down and say his school is great, I tell her right away, now what's the matter, buddy? Ain't you heard of my school? It's number one in the state.
Hey, take it away! Get the ball and try it!
The band marches back and forth behind Stargirl and the cheerleaders as they do their routine. Flailing pom-poms close in around her face. She stutter steps past the cheerleaders holding their pom-poms together in the shape of a dancing person.
I'm proud to wear it now when I cruise around the other parts of town. I've got my decal in back.
The cheerleaders turn, one of them showing off an M on the back of her uniform. Now, two male cheerleaders hold Stargirl up above their shoulders. Mud Frog mascot riles up fans packing the bleachers. Strumming her ukulele, Stargirl marches through the band and stands back-to-back with Alan banging his drum. As the band splits in two, she takes center field with rhythmic footwork.
On Friday we'll be jacked up on the football game, and I'll be ready to fight. We're gonna smash it now, my girls will be working on their pom-poms now, and they'll be yelling tonight. So be cheery.
Strikes a final pose. After halftime.
And another first down from the Mud Frogs gives them a first and goal from the Jaguar 4.
The cheerleaders wave their pom-poms. Running a play, Zach fakes a handoff, then throws a long pass to a receiver in the end zone.
And that's a Mud Frog touchdown. Beautiful pass from quarterback Zach James. And with just under 6 minutes left to play in the third quarter, the Mud Frogs take the lead.
Tess shakes shakes Stargirl's friend excitedly. Spotting Stargirl on the sidelines with the cheerleaders, Zach runs over and gives her a high five.
And the extra point is good. And Ron Kovac continues this drive. He's got a first and goal from the Mud Frog 7.
Kovac sets himself for the snap. He pitches a lateral to a wide receiver who takes it downfield and finds an opening. Juking out of one last tackle, he reaches the end zone.
And that's a Jaguar touchdown. Oh, what a pretty reverse. Ron Kovac firing on all cylinders here late.
In another play, a Jaguar gets knocked out of bounds.
And that's another third down conversion for Kovac, setting up the Jaguars with first and goal. But with 1:12 left on the clock and still trailing by four, these Jaguars are going to need a touchdown to win. So the Mud Frogs' merit of the season comes down to this. Can they stop Ron Kovac?
Kovac takes the snap and runs a bootleg. A Mud Frog cornerback tackles him low, slamming him head over heels to the turf.
And a vicious kick stops Kovac for no gain. And there's an injury timeout on the field. Injury timeout.
The Jaguars coach and medic jog out to check on him. Leo rises from the band section as he sees his girlfriend bolting onto the field. An ambulance arrives as Stargirl kneels beside Kovac. Clutching her phone, Hillary sneers in the crowd. Leo self-consciously sits back down. EMTs bring out a gurney to Kovac, who holds Stargirl's hand. He doesn't let go as they wheel him off the field. Leo breathlessly watches as she gets into the ambulance with them. Later in a street, he sees headlights approaching while he waits beside his parked car. The glow illuminates his somber, blinking eyes. Still wearing her customized Mud Frogs cheerleader uniform, Stargirl gets out of the pickup truck, closes the door, and waves goodbye to the driver. As it reverses down the street, she approaches Leo.
Hey, I wanted to make sure you got home okay.
Thank you.
He hands her the band uniform coat, both of them avoiding each other's gaze.
We lost, in case you were wondering.
Kovac's gonna be okay, in case you were wondering.
She heads for her house and Leo follows. Later, inside her room.
After you left, the whole team kind of just fell apart. You're our good luck charm, and you left. They're all angry. They're just angry.
He moves closer and takes a seat beside her on the bed. Avoiding his gaze, she stares out the window.
I just want to understand. Why did you go with him?
When he got hurt, everyone was cheering, and then no one moved.
That's what you do at a game.
But it's weird, isn't it? Someone gets hurt, and everyone's just standing, watching. I don't know. I couldn't.
She meets his eyes. Leo shifts his gaze away thoughtfully.
I don't know what's gonna happen. But you're sad right now, and I don't want you to be. I've been listening to the, I wanted to...
Keeping his eyes averted from hers, he sucks in a breath.
Won't you let me walk you home from school? Won't you let me meet you at the pool?
They both smile.
Maybe Friday I can get tickets for the dance.
And I'll take you.
She accompanies him on her ukulele.
Won't you tell your dad, get off my back? Tell him what we said about painting black. Rock and roll is here to stay. Come inside where it's okay. And I'll shake you. Ooh. Won't you tell me what you're thinking of? Would you be an outlaw for my love? So well, let me know. If it's no, well, I can go. I won't make you. Ooh.
Leo smiles tenderly. Her sparkling grin deepens into a loving gaze as he scoots in closer on her bed. They stare affectionately into each other's eyes, then share a kiss. Stargirl smiles happily in the warm glow of fairy lights around the windowsill, her cheeks still freckled with glitter. Leo's soulful eyes study her face. Later, he sneaks home to find his mom sitting up waiting in the living room.
Hi.
He closes the front door behind him, then sets down his trumpet case.
This is what I wanted for you. But now that it's happening, it's strange.
I kind of just want to go to bed.
What's her name?
Leo turns his head away.
I'm trying here.
No, it's not you. It's her name.
Huh?
Stargirl.
Excuse me?
Her name is Stargirl.
Leo heads for his room.
Leo! Shoot. Leo!
His mom shakes her head regretfully. At school, Leo and Stargirl step out into a breezeway holding hands and find everyone glaring at them. Later, they sit on the floor of a quiet, sunlit hallway.
Could explain, and I think they'd understand.
I don't know if it's a good idea. They just want someone to blame.
Just ask him, please.
Leo lays his head back against the windowsill with a faraway stare. After school, he walks into a pizza parlor and finds his three friends sitting in a booth doing their homework around a partially eaten pizza at the center of the table.
You guys didn't tell me you were coming here.
Kevin looks up at him awkwardly.
We've been coming here for weeks without you. You've been busy.
Tess scoots over, making room for Leo. He removes his backpack and slides in beside her. Benny furrows his brow at him.
Where's your homework?
Oh, I didn't bring
it. Okay, so what do you want?
I just wanted to see you guys.
So, now that Stargirl's been shunned, you want us back?
Kevin.
It's not like that.
It's not?
I have a girlfriend. It happens.
Not to us, it doesn't.
Well, it did to me, and it's really different, and I'm trying to figure it out.
Leo gives an apologetic shake of his head.
And I promised I wouldn't be one of those guys. I'm sorry.
He looks earnestly at Kevin, whose harsh expression softens a bit.
Well, you never actually promised.
Leo smirks.
So really, it's kind of your fault.
Kevin smiles good-naturedly.
Want a slice?
Yeah, thanks.
Benny dumps the crust off of one of his two plates and hands it to him. Leo grabs a slice from the pizza and takes a bite as the others go back to their homework. He looks up sheepishly at Kevin.
So, what do you want to do, hot seat?
Kevin's eyes widen.
What?
Do you think that's a good idea? They're all really mad.
What? How is she going to get everyone to hear what she has to say? It's perfect. I can totally see it. A 60-minute style mea culpa interview, an in-depth expose. Why she did it.
Are you cool with it, though?
Why wouldn't I be? Well, because of the speech competition.
What? Guys, who cares about the speech competition? This is huge. Also, we need promo. Posters, school paper. It's going to be great. The whole school's going to watch. Tess, when can we book the studio?
Well, Frankie still has it until Tuesday.
Greetings, Micah High, and thank you for coming out to this very special episode of Hot Seat.
Today, our guest is Micah High's very own speech champ and controversial good luck charm herself, Stargirl Caraway. The hope is we'll get some answers as to why Stargirl made the fateful decision to betray her own school.
Today, we'll be turning up the heat on Hot Seat.
Kevin holds a little too long for the camera before turning to Stargirl with his microphone.
So, before we get to the more recent events, let's start at the beginning. Is your name really Stargirl?
Yes.
Oh, so you were born Stargirl Caraway?
Oh, no.
Come on, you know you can't lie on Hot Seat.
I'm not lying. My name really is Stargirl. It's just not the name I was born with.
Okay. What name were you born with?
Wearing a headset, Leo watches closely from the control booth.
Susan.
She glances up at him.
So then why Stargirl?
We're made from the dust of dead stars.
Okay, let's turn up the heat.
What brought you to Micah High in the first place? I understand you were homeschooled, correct?
I was.
Camera 2, go in close on Stargirl.
Yes?
Tess zooms in on her face.
I just wanted to make some friends.
You have a weird way of showing it.
Guys, come on. You know how the show works. Save your comments and questions for comments and questions time.
Okay, so I understand that you came on here today because you want to set the record straight about what happened at Friday's big game.
Tell us. Why'd you do it?
He was hurt and he was alone.
He was on the other team.
And he was killing us.
Hey guys, seriously?
He needed help.
His coaches and medics for that.
He didn't want to let go of my hand.
What makes you think you know what everybody wants?
She eyes Hillary in the audience.
I don't think
you're right. You don't think.
Everybody else seems to be able to, but then you're not like everybody else.
You do all these nice things for people that are really just selfish. Like the bike you left my brother.
I went to the thrift store to ask them who bought it, and when they started to describe you, I knew who they meant.
Did you even know why the bike was there?
Stargirl shakes her head no.
Did it ever occur to you to find out?
Hillary stands up.
Okay, well, I think that's all the time that
Go
we
on.
Have.
Go on. Hillary? My mom didn't think he was ready for a bike, but my dad insisted. After the accident, my dad took it to the thrift store hoping someone could at least use it, right? Then it shows up on our doorstep. Did you know my brother got so badly hurt that he'll never ride a bike again? My parents didn't know who would do something like that. So I went to the thrift store. And yeah, here we are.
She sneers. Tears start to form in Stargirl's eyes, and she runs off from the hot seat.
Okay, everyone. It's time to go home.
In the control booth, Leo takes off his headset and rubs his face. Kevin hangs his head as the audience starts to file out. Mr. Robineau looks up at Leo in the control booth and sees him rushing off. Driving his car, Leo sees Stargirl walking home and pulls over. Now at school, he walks down the hall alone, everything moving in slow motion.
Stargirl, please wait. We can fix this. There has to be a way to fix this.
Some things just take time.
Maybe you don't have to do all the things that you do.
What do you mean?
You could just hang out. Like when it's just us.
So you can go back to blending in.
This isn't about me.
It's not.
You were the one that said you wanted to make friends.
I do.
Then listen to them. Why can't you just be more like everybody else?
Facing him on the sidewalk, Stargirl gives a wounded look.
Is that what you want?
I don't know. But I think you'd be happy. I think we could be happy.
She rushes off.
Stargirl!
Leo hurries after her.
Stargirl, come on, I'll drive you home.
I'd rather walk.
She keeps going.
It's getting dark.
I know.
Leo stands there, watching her go. All around him, the horizon of the bleak desert landscape glows dimly in the half-light of the setting sun. His eyes blink with anguished uncertainty. Back at school, he continues down the hall in slow motion, everyone around him engrossed in their phones. Later, he sits by himself outside in the quad. Other students amble by, but he pays them no attention. Wearing his jean jacket, he remains hunched over a table writing in a notebook. Glancing at his phone, he sees a message notification from a random number that reads, "Hi." He looks around quizzically, then sets the phone aside and picks his pen back up. Checking the phone again, he finds another text from the same number. "Aren't you gonna say hi?" He turns, then straightens in his seat as he notices something.
Stargirl?
She's seated at another table in a hoodie and jeans, her hair straightened. She texts Susan, followed by a smiley face. Leo looks at her with a crooked smirk. Picking up her new leather backpack, she stands and heads over to him. Leo glances around over his shoulder, then chuckles. Standing before him, Susan folds her arms self-consciously and smiles.
Do you still want to go with me later?
To Tucson?
Yeah.
Yeah, of course I do, Susan.
Now, Mr. Robineau drives a truck. In the back seat, Susan studies her note cards. Leo glances over.
Did you change your speech?
What? Oh. Yeah.
What's the topic?
Whether or not the government should be involved in internet censorship.
Interesting choice.
Well, what happened to
you? It was too weird.
She goes back to her cards. Leo watches her for a moment, then glances out his window, takes out his phone, and types something with a smile. He sends the text, "I want to ask you something." Susan puts down her cards and looks at her phone. She types back, "Okay." Leo continues texting. Eyeing them in his rearview mirror, Mr. Robineau shakes his head with amusement. The girl's face lights up as she reads, "Will you go to the winter ball with me, Susan?" She glances at him, a wide grin spreading across her face, then types her reply. He looks at his phone once more and finds a panda bear emoji that reads, "Yes." Leaning face to face with him, Susan flashes a big grin as she takes a selfie of the two of them. She instantly drops her smile and starts editing the photo. Leo watches her, then looks back out his window. Later, at the speech competition, Susan makes her way to the podium. Leo and Mr. Robineau applaud her enthusiastically from the audience. Susan arranges her cards on the podium.
We often ask ourselves how much involvement the government should have in our affairs.
She looks up at the audience.
Especially how it pertains to how we obtain information.
An older man silences his phone. Susan's eyes shift pensively, then look at some of the indifferent faces in the crowd. One woman whispers to her companion. Susan stands frozen in her conservative green dress and gray t-shirt, her troubled eyes blinking. She spots Leo watching her expectantly. Putting her cards down, she moves aside from the podium. She kicks her shoes off, then steps barefoot to the edge of the stage, closes her eyes, and takes a deep breath. Leo sits back in his seat as he watches. Susan slowly opens her eyes and grins.
I don't know why I was giving that speech. I don't know why I do a lot of things lately. And I bet you find that too, right? And it's because we don't think. We just do. We don't take a step back and process. Everything's so instant these days. How can we? Dinner in minutes, 1,000 photographs in one burst. You have to like something this second. You have to know how you feel about everything. You can't be unsure or confused or change your mind. There's no time to figure out who you are. You have to know right now.
The old man with the cell phone smiles slightly.
Have you ever seen a flower grow? I mean, of course not. It's nearly impossible to wait for anything that takes that long. But if you did, it would change you. It would slow you down. It would remind you that real things take time. And it's magic too, isn't it? I mean, so are 1,000 photographs in one burst, but a flower. You plant a seed in the ground and a whole world develops and stretches out and opens up. It's easy to get confused when we're moving so fast and to think we're doing the right thing when really we're not.
Leo sits in rapt attention.
But if we're lucky, we could find a balance. We could take a step back. We could take a breath.
She smiles, then adopts a thoughtful expression.
The next time that you see a flower sticking up out of the ground or in a vase, just remember that part of what makes it beautiful is how long it took to grow.
She collects her shoes and gathers her note cards from the podium. Her competitors join in on the applause, a couple of them even standing up. She smiles at the response. Later in the truck, she holds a huge trophy plate in her lap reading, "First Place, Susan Caraway." Leo looks at her with a huge grin. Back at school.
Well done, Miss Caraway. Well done indeed.
The beaming principal unlocks the empty trophy case, then takes the silver plate from Susan and places it inside. Leo and Mr. Robineau smile proudly. The principal locks the case with the lone trophy inside. The classroom doors open and kids flood out into the hallway. Leo and the others look around as the students all walk right past without acknowledgement. Susan turns somberly and eyes her lonely trophy gleaming among the empty shelves. She shoots a vulnerable glance toward Leo, who continues to watch the other students just walk right by. The hallway empties out, leaving just the foursome standing awkwardly by the trophy case.
We'll make an announcement tomorrow morning.
As the principal leaves, Mr. Robineau touches Susan's shoulder.
Hey.
She puts her hand in his, and he gives it a shake.
I'm really proud of you.
He claps Leo on the shoulder as he leaves them alone together. The boy takes a hesitant step toward his sullen girlfriend.
I'm sorry.
For what?
I mean, maybe it was silly, but
I guess I thought maybe some of them would be happy at one.
People aren't happy because they win. They win because they're happy.
They stand there looking at each other. She starts to walk away.
Susan,
She stops and turns back.
Were you even listening?
To what?
My speech.
Of course.
That was Stargirl. I'm Stargirl. Susan didn't win that trophy. I did.
But you were talking about balance.
I know that you think that this would make it easier. But I can't just be somebody else.
But you're Susan. You are. That's your name.
You're off the hook for the dance, by the way. You can't go with someone who doesn't exist.
She drifts out of focus as Leo stands watching her march out the door without him. He stands all alone. Later in his bedroom, he sits at his desk, flipping the painted rock over and over in his hand. His phone shows an incoming call from Kevin. Leo puts down the rock and answers.
Hey.
Hey. I didn't see you at school.
I was ending up pretty quickly.
It's cool she won.
You don't really think that.
I do. For real.
Well, then you are the only one.
So, I was thinking about the first day we met.
I got to school late, of course. And the playground was completely empty, except for this kid lying in the middle.
At the elementary school.
I thought you were dead.
Leo lies on the ground with his tie cut in half. A small hand reaches out to him. He takes it, and young Kevin helps him stand back up.
I don't know. Maybe that's all she was doing.
Leo picks up the other half of his tie.
Maybe she was just helping someone get back up.
The two new friends walk off together. Back in the present, Kevin sits on his bed with his phone to his ear. On the other end, his best friend nods.
I know we haven't talked since the, I'm sorry about the show.
Are you kidding me? I'm a legend. It's all anyone's talking about.
That's probably the best thing that's ever happened to me.
Leo smiles.
Good night, Kevin.
Later.
Leo puts his phone down and stares straight ahead, arms folded in a contemplative pose. He looks down at the rock in front of him. Picking it back up, he strokes his thumb across the two sides as he continues turning it over in his hand. Morning. Leo goes into his living room.
This came for you.
His mom sits folding laundry near a brightly colored gift box on the coffee table.
Is it from her? Stargirl?
He takes a seat beside her on the couch. Big, glittery letters on the lid spell out Leo. He opens it to find the Cars' debut record.
Oh, man. The Cars.
Her eyes well with tears as she watches him set it aside and reach in for the next portion of the gift. He pulls out a compact, hard-shell case, then replaces the lid on the gift box and sets it down on the floor. Opening the case, he discovers that it's a portable turntable. Enclosed is a note. I hope you still go to the dance, even if you don't have a date. And if you do go, there'll be a pretty great surprise for you. His mom smiles emotionally as she resumes folding her laundry. Leo shuts and latches the turntable case, then folds his leg on the couch as he turns to face her.
Were you ever afraid of what people thought of you? When you were my age? Like, to the point where you did things you wish you didn't do?
You just described being a teenager.
Setting aside her laundry, she pivots herself to face him squarely.
Your dad was one of the only people I ever knew who was always completely himself.
Do you still miss him?
every day. I mean, not all day, every day, but definitely every day. I don't ever want to stop missing him.
I don't either.
When we moved here after he died, it was the first time I really had to think about who I was. Your dad was such a big personality, and he took up so much space.
Leo smiles nostalgically, then sees his mom trying to compose herself to continue.
And even though it was painful, I finally had to figure out who I wanted to be.
Did you?
Well, I know more now than I did then. I mean, of course, I just want to tell you everything. I want to give you all the answers. But those are my answers. Figuring out who we are is probably the one thing no one else can do for us.
She reaches out and strokes his cheek with the back of her hand. As she pats his shoulder, Leo flashes her a smile, then looks away distractedly.
I think I still have some of your dad's old records in the garage. Should we go look?
As they hurry off, the image of the empty couch fades into a close-up view of a needle being set down on a spinning record. Leo lies on his bed, listening to the car's record playing nearby on the floor. Eyes twinkling, he wears a contented smile. The picture cuts to black.
Everybody's always upset.
Now a crowded dance floor slowly draws into focus. Leo arrives alone, wearing a burgundy suit paired with the necktie that shows two porcupines kissing. His hair neatly combed, he looks around and takes a deep breath. A live band plays on a stage for the high schoolers as they dance under a canopy of twinkling lights. Now, Leo and Kevin stand on the sidelines, sipping beverages as they watch couples slow dance. Leo suddenly perks up as he sees Stargirl arrive wearing flowers in her hair and a beautiful but eclectic custom-made dress ensemble with a tulle skirt. Kevin holds out his hand and takes his friend's drink for him. Leo moves to meet Stargirl in the middle of the dance floor, right in front of the stage.
Hi.
Nice tie.
You look...
Thanks, Leo.
You're welcome, Stargirl.
You ready for your surprise?
I have no idea.
Staring deeply into his eyes, she caresses his cheek, then glances toward the band and walks away.
We have a special request for this next song and a special guest to sing it with us. Leo Borlaug!
A spotlight shines down on him. He looks around at the confused faces of his schoolmates. Kevin approaches him.
You got this.
He nods toward the stage. Leo steps forward, the spotlight following him. Hands in his pockets, he climbs tentatively up onto the stage from a side set of stairs. Stepping to the microphone, he looks out on the sea of teenagers all watching his every move. He turns abruptly to the lead singer.
I don't know what song you're doing.
Yeah, you do. You know, the Cars. By the way, killer time, man.
He begins to strum his guitar. Leo exhales. He looks at the drummer. The lead singer nods to Leo.
Sorry.
Wayne and Hillary swap a look. Standing stiffly at the microphone, Leo flashes back to when he was sitting with Stargirl on the boulder in the desert with their eyes closed. He closes his eyes on stage and remembers her smiling at him after a kiss in her bedroom. In a flashback to his youth, his dad sings energetically as both of them rock out in the car. On the first day at his new elementary school, young Leo sniffles at his reflection in the bathroom mirror.
I don't mind you coming here and wasting all my time. Cause when you're standing no so near, I kinda lose my mind.
People on the dance floor start bobbing their heads along to the music. Leo's friends begin clapping to the beat. Smiling, he looks to the lead singer, who nods encouragingly. Zach and the head cheerleader play air guitar. Girl starts to dance a bouncy version of the twist. Others follow her in a dance line. Leo jumps off the stage to join them as they snake their way outside. The line scatters through trees and bushes strung up with lights and out onto a well-manicured lawn. At the center, Stargirl bounces and twirls, her frilly skirt flailing up around her. The others dance joyfully on all sides, lost in the music. Zach dances with the head cheerleader, Kevin with a random girl. Stargirl twirls through the crowd. Searching for her, Leo ducks under a couple's joined hands. As he weaves his way through the chaos of dancing peers, Tess grabs him and spins him around. He makes slow progress, stopping every few paces to avoid running into people. As the couple in front of him lets go of each other's hands, he moves forward again, then pauses in his tracks as he catches sight of Stargirl dancing with her back to him. As she stops and turns around to face him, it suddenly starts to snow. Leo gazes up into the sky. Stargirl spreads her arms wide. She twirls again, bouncing up and down in the falling snow. Leo's three friends dance ecstatically, Benny wearing a tuxedo t-shirt underneath his tuxedo jacket. Arms pumping, Alan points his fingers at Stargirl's friend. The whole lawn is a pulsating mass of joyful teens. Stargirl continues to twirl in the flurries of snow. Leo gazes around with an awestruck smile until a pensive look crosses his face. Everyone starts to leave the lawn. Leo follows after his friends as the group heads back inside the dance venue. Stargirl comes face to face with Hillary waiting for her by the stage, with her arms folded irritably. Catching her breath, Stargirl steps closer to the popular girl and shakes her head somberly.
I never said I was sorry.
Everyone stands around, watching them.
I'm really sorry.
Hillary's scowl softens a bit, and she blinks her troubled eyes. Stargirl tears up as she holds her gaze, then turns and runs away. The crowd parts for her. Leo stands stunned for a moment before heading after her. Hillary keeps her arms folded tightly across her body, her expression mournful. Leo heads back out into the snow flurries, but finds no trace of Stargirl. He keeps looking around as the winter ball gets back into full swing behind him.
And just like that, she was gone.
At Stargirl's house, a for sale sign is stuck in the lawn.
Her mom sold the house.
Leo stands gazing at it in the sunlight.
I imagine they were on the road somewhere.
At the Micah High football field, the stands lie empty.
But even though she was gone,
students go about their school day.
She was everywhere.
Kevin laughs in the cafeteria, their table now including Wayne, Stargirl's female friend, and another girl. Hillary looks over from her empty table, her arms folded in front of her. She startles as Alan slides into the seat next to her. He holds out a daisy and says a few gentle words. Hillary gives him an uncertain look. Wetting her lips, she takes the flower from him, then lets out a smile. Now, Leo walks down the hallway wearing his backpack. Zach smiles and slaps him five as he passes by. Leo keeps walking until he comes upon the trophy case at the end of the hall. He stops, taking it in. He's wearing one of his porcupine ties.
But I still didn't know.
A daisy lies next to Stargirl's trophy.
Was it real? Or was it something else?
At the desert ranch house.
Dinosaurs can kind of do a number on your brain, can't they?
What?
They seem magical. These enormous beasts roaming some mystical place. But they were real. They were here.
Leo and his mentor sit in their lawn chairs, looking out at the land. Getting up, Archie moves to the edge of the front porch and retrieves a large dinosaur bone.
Look at this bone. There is nothing more real than that. But that doesn't make it any less magical. You think things have to be real or magic. But the best things are both.
Leo sits back pensively in his chair.
She asked me to show you something.
Archie nods toward a small shed that sits up on a hill about 100 yards from the house. Moments later, his hand flips a switch and the lights come on inside. He shares a look with Leo, who grins in astonishment. Archie nods for him to take a step inside the cozy shed, which is full of art supplies.
And there. In her office. I finally saw her.
Daylight filters in through colored glass embedded in the walls.
All her glitter and ribbons and magic tricks.
Archie leans against the open doorframe, watching him explore. Among newspaper clippings tacked up on a wall, a headline reads, "Micah Mudfrogs lose again. Can they ever win?"
Information found just like anyone else. Only nobody else did find it.
A map marks Leo's house with a heart.
Because nobody else cared to.
He sees a photograph of himself as a young boy wearing his dad's necktie. It's taped to a piece of construction paper that reads, "Leo Borlock, junior paleontologist, lover of porcupine ties." He takes it off the wall and looks back at Archie.
Who cares about strangers' birthdays?
His mentor smiles.
Or stories about other people.
Lingering at the doorway, Archie looks out at the clouds in the sky.
Who would take the time for someone they don't even know?
Leo hugs the photo to his chest.
And the time to learn and grow when they realize they did something wrong.
His melancholy eyes take in the collage of maps, pictures, and newspaper clippings detailing the residence of Micah. On another day, he opens his front door.
And even though I couldn't find her, she still found a way, every now and then, to find me.
He picks up a package, then chuckles as he opens it. Later, he wears a cap and gown paired with a new tie featuring a porcupine in a cap and gown.
For a while, she was all anyone could talk about. Where did she go? Why did she leave? Why was she here in the first place?
He poses for graduation photos with his friends.
Did it all happen for a reason?
At home, he takes his ties out from the closet.
Or was it just one of those things?
Packing them in a crate with some records, he pauses to look at the stapled together one that belonged to his dad. He then brings his things out to his car.
It got to the point where people started to wonder if she'd been a ghost. Or an alien.
He backs out of the driveway with his mom in the passenger seat.
Or maybe out of boredom, we just made her up.
In a dorm room, she helps him unpack.
As the years went by, the stories got more elaborate. She played every instrument in the marching band.
He places the painted rock on his new desk. Later in the parking lot,
she could make flowers appear out of thin air.
His mom hugs him.
She knew what you were thinking before you did.
Fighting tears, she touches his cheeks, then goes.
One time, I even heard she could fly.
At the pizza parlor, his friends sit in their booth.
Later, when those of us who were there got together, we would laugh about it.
Leo comes in and greets them.
Laugh at how ridiculous they were, at how some kids would believe anything. But as the memories became stories, and the stories became memories, even we began to wonder.
In the desert, Leo steps out onto the scenic overlook and gazes upon the open valley, his hands stuffed in the pockets of his suede coat. His eyes squint in the bright sunlight.
She was just a girl, wasn't she?
Closing his eyes, he draws in a deep breath and screams.
A girl just like anyone else.
A cathartic smile brightens his face. He turns and heads back. At Micah High School, kids fill the hallway, moving from classroom to classroom.
It was silly to even talk about it.
As they clear out, the trophy case comes into view.
After all, nothing ever happened here.
It's now filled with trophies, ribbons, and other awards, along with piles of silk flowers. Stargirl's trophy plate is tucked in back, the etching on its now tarnished silver still proclaiming first place Susan Carraway. Cut to black.
Nothing at all.
The title appears in yellow cursive, with a star dotting the letter I. Stargirl.
To letting go of all the things I thought were true. Falling in love as I'm falling in you. It seems so clear, but I don't know what to do. I speak too much, you stay closed off, but I can see your thoughts in the stardust shining back at me. As I catch you falling into me, falling into you, letting go of all the things I thought were true. Falling into me as I'm falling into you. It seems so clear, but I don't know what to do.
Has been described by Deluxe with funding by Disney Plus Originals. Voiced by Laura Post. Out on a desert plain, Stargirl serenades Leo with her ukulele as they sit together in lawn chairs. She smiles, the setting sun casting a halo around the back of her head.
That's it.
Leo smiles back at her, his face brimming with affection. Now, glittering light arcs over the turrets of a magnificent fairy tale castle. Disney.